Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being on the line. This is the Unleashed Tapping into the Divine Flow 12-week interactive conference call series with your host, yours truly, Michael Dare. And we're just going to get right into it. Thanks to everyone who supported and to everyone who is on this call. It's been a tremendous blessing. Let's talk about our birthright. I want you to picture for a second your walking around with your birth certificate. Now, you might be walking through the corridors of a state building, and you all of a sudden just rip your birth certificate up for no reason and throw it on the floor. How likely is it to happen? How likely is it to ever happen to you? The chances are very slim, and the reason why is because our birth certificates are the closest things we have in Western society to the birthright. And Bishop Desmond Tutu, he alluded to its power and its rights and political benefits. He says, it's a small paper, but it actually establishes who you are and gives access to the rights and the privileges and the obligations of your citizenship. You see, our birthright is a symbol of who we are. And unfortunately, the world has peeked into our birthright as believers in Christ and sons and daughters of God, and that birthright is the collective principles in the Word of God, the principles in the Bible that were reserved for our edification. And the world has turned us into slaves of merchandise and into consumers. And this book, Tapping into the Divine Flow, Unleashed, is my attempt at showing God's plan for getting your dominion back and for getting your authority back and for taking your birthright back and for using it to glorify the Lord in the earth. Now, let's look at what our birthright is. If you turn with me to page 3, you will see the, page 4, the birthright in Esau's case, because this isn't the first time it happened. It happened so long ago, especially in the book of Genesis, chapter 25 and 27, where we have the saddest, the most painful story about a birthright being relinquished. And that's the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, Esau had the birthright, which was his access to the ancestral record of the relationship the Lord had built with his father's Isaac and the relationship the Lord has built with his grandfather Abraham. You see, this was huge. Nations were affected by this decision Esau made. And in the same way, our birthright doesn't only affect us, it affects other people. Now, if you want to get a deeper understanding or more insight into the story and what chapter 1 is really talking about, I encourage you to read Genesis chapter 25 and Genesis chapter 27 for the background story so you can understand chapter 1 in its fullness. But I think one of the biggest problems that Esau had was the fact that he did not have something that I call the legacy mindset. And I talk about that in page 6. Now, the legacy mindset is Jacob's ability to see beyond himself and Esau's inability to see beyond his own needs and his own desire for comfort. Esau had the birthright, but because he could only believe as far as his hand could reach, he did not care about the ramifications of the birthright. He did not care about the future generational benefits of the birthright. But here's the thing. Esau didn't see it, but Jacob did. Jacob realized that a birthright given by Jehovah, who is eternal, was a covenant that would be eternally binding. And so Jacob saw that this birthright that Esau just threw around and didn't care much for would be a blessing not only to him but to his children's children. And I ask the question to you, do you have a legacy mindset? Is your promise or the decision that you make or the actions that you take, are they just for you, or do you see yourself benefiting a future generation by a sacrifice that you're doing today? Do you have the faith and the discipline as well as the courage to hold on and to make sacrifices today to delay your destiny just so that it can be bigger for the next generation? The bottom line is Esau chose to be fed and Jacob chose to be blessed. But let's look at the profile of Jacob's, which I discuss in, on page 8, paragraph 3. There are Jacobs all around us. People, and I make a general classification of the world or the carnal man who peers into the spiritual things of God and the constitution reserved for God's people and capitalizes on it and uses it against the people it was originally intended for and advance themselves based on a principle that was set aside for the people of God. But the Jacobs of the world see what we have and desire to have it. And this is a statement that I shared in the book, that Jacob must have said, I might not deserve that birthright, but it deserves me. In other words, I might not be qualified morally for the birthright, but I respect it and what it means so much that I'll take care of it, whether I was originally supposed to get the birthright or not. I will take care of it. And so the Jacobs, and I read, like Jacobs, they have watched you embrace the excuses that you have made for yourself. They silently observe the fear you allow yourself to be controlled by. And at the opportune moment, it's always at the opportune moment, think to themselves like Jacob did, this joker doesn't even acknowledge the power and authority that God has given him. He doesn't even know how blessed he is. He doesn't even respect the gift that he has right now. And the Jacobs, if you go to page 9, will take our birthright while also comforting us. I call this Jacob's coddling. In other words, the world will steal our birthright right from under us while giving us a listening ear so that we will have an outlet to complain and share all our gripes and vent while our gold and treasures and the glory that God has given is being sucked away and siphoned off right beneath our nose. Someone who will coddle you and to remind you that God will understand if you can't take it anymore or if you can't handle the heat in the kitchen. But Esau's would do well to remember that they need to keep and hold on to the birthright. And I share in page 10 that we need to be very careful about the habit or developing the habit of complaining. Why? Because when you complain and when you give your mind the permission to complain, that's what's happening. The more you complain, the more you give your mind permission to complain. And the more you give your mind permission to complain, the less convicted you will feel when you do complain. And the less convicted you feel when you do complain, the more of a climate of negativity and pessimism you will create in your own mind. So I encourage you to rather focus on positive things and focus on the things that are going good rather than the things that are going wrong. And over time, whichever direction you train your mind to focus on, eventually will become the norm and eventually will become the base philosophy that you will live your life by. As I go on to page 10 paragraph 3, I discuss the profile of Esau. We who have the birthright, the ones who don't understand the value of the birthright. And again, the birthright here that I'm talking about is the Word of God and the principles in the Word of God, the instructions, the kingdom instruction, whereby we can live our lives and not only benefit in the life to come, but live a life of authority and spiritual prosperity here on earth. And I read in paragraph 3, we can identify Esau's all around us today, people who have given up on life because it seemed harder than they expected. A person who is ready to blame someone else for the answers they're supposed to be accountable for. Those who would rather have immediate, temporary pleasure rather than long-term gain. The Esau's, like I shared in on page 4, lack legacy mindset. They're only thinking about what pleases them. But the Jacobs are concerned with the posterity and the generational blessing. And I ask you again, are you concerned with what makes sense to you and what is convenient for you? Or are you willing to display discipline, faith, and courage to do something today, make a sacrifice today, that will benefit so many in the future? And the painful result of Esau's decision and Esau's lack of legacy mindset can be found in paragraph 4. And the point of the result is this, that Esau started out in first place, but his attitude pulled him into second place. And I use the word pulled with a lot of weight and a lot of intention behind it. Because Esau, of course, obviously wanted to progress himself in his very own way. Yet his attitude, though he was facing his goal and wanted to prosper, whether selfishly for himself, he still had his eye on a goal. But his attitude pulled him in the opposite direction of his sight and his vision. And it's the same way today that when we have an attitude that reeks of pessimism and reeks of negativity, that we could say what we want and establish whatever goal that we desire, but our attitude will work against us in pulling us further away from our vision, pulling us further away from the goal that we have beholden with our eyes, but we won't reach there because our attitude is pulling us in the opposite direction. So again, be wary and be careful of the habit of complaining. Rather than complaining, I suggest to you in closing that you develop what I call divine hard-headedness. And this is a quality that Jacob is absolutely famous for. Because we remember he is the same individual who wrestled with the angel of the Lord, who wrestled with the very presence of God until daybreak. And he said these famous words, I will not let go until you bless me. And we also have to be as dogged, as determined, as persistent as Jacob was. And I believe, and it's my opinion, that it was Jacob's determination and his persistence, as well as his faith and honor for respecting what God established as a birthright, which is a spiritual seal and blessing upon whoever the birthright was pronounced upon. There was no physical relic or no physical artifact. It was a spiritual blessing and seal that was passed on from generation to generation. So Jacob, I believe, was blessed because the Lord saw his persistence, even though, like Matthew Henry says, he gained this birthright through unagreeable courses. Divine hard-headedness now is not willing to accept your spiritual destiny being rejected. So you accept no rejections, no denials, and no knows when it comes to your spiritual destiny. You lock eyes on it, and no matter what comes, no matter what happens, you know that you will never give up on your divine destiny. And that's what I call divine hardness, or hard-headedness, rather. Thank you. This concludes the insight portion of the call, and I will encourage you to go to unleashed.michaeldear.com to see blog posts and to see updates on what's happening, and also subscribe. Leave your email there so that you can get updates on upcoming events, as well as checking out our calendar. You can connect with us by connecting on Twitter at Unleashed Today, where you will receive spiritual and motivational encouragement for every single day. Or you can view our videos on YouTube at Dear Live, the Dear Live channel. Thank you, and have an unleashed day.